Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 398. As this week, we bring you ECW Hardcore TV for August 13, 1996. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined by my co-host, the other half of the watch-along tag team champions of the world, Shane Shadows. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1996, and see if Raven versus Tommy Dreamer really is a five-star match in Tokyo?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get it rolling.
Okay, and of course, I want to thank our great audience out there. Another good week in the podcast rankings in Switzerland as we stay in the top 100. We moved back up the charts on global podcasts under the leisure categories, and we're apparently a moving up the leisure ranks again in the United States on Chartable. Moved up nearly 300 spots in India somehow. So thank you, everybody. If you're from a different country, please download us a bunch of times. Tell your friends.
That's insane. Isn't it funny how this works? It's like out of nowhere.
It's great.
In India.
Someone I want to chart in Burkina Faso. I want to chart in like the Philippines. Okay, come on. We got. I haven't heard that we're getting downloads in Liechtenstein. So you know, anywhere. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah, that's what this is all about.
You didn't realize that bringing me on board was going to open up such a worldwide scope for the Wayback Playback.
I mean, if you've listened to, Jim and I would pop up in strange places too. So yeah, but.
Well, so but, I want to take credit for it. I'm the new guy. I want to take credit
for
it. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Take credit for Switzerland and India, okay?
Big question. Yeah, Switzerland, India. The Brazilian thing, I still like to think that I was responsible for that. So
that's true. All right, and speaking of business, patreon.com/waybackplayback, looking for advertisers and looking for subscribers and, still for the low, and we'll talk about that during the break, actually. We don't need to go through that now, but let's ECW Hardcore TV won the poll. It was another close race, and because it's a 1 hour show, we have another vote up right now. So we'll get to that at the end of the show. So this is Tuesday, August 13th, 1996. ECW would air on Sports Channel Philadelphia, Sports Channel Pennsylvania on late Tuesday nights. That's the air date. The matches on this show took place Sunday, August 11th, 1996, on an IWA show at Kurikan Hall in Tokyo in front of 2,000 people, which is, the normal size of Kurikan Hall.
Right.
Yes. And this is an IWA show, but there were a bunch of ECW wrestlers on the show. IWA did two shows where they brought in ECW guys, Yokohama on the 10th and Tokyo on the 11th. So, going over the results for matches we're not going to see on this episode, but took place there. Stevie Richards beat Keizo Matsuda. Terry Gordy and Leatherface teamed up to beat the Blackhearts, who I believe were Dave Johnson and Dave Heath, the Daves. And we're going to see a clip from the main event of the show. And the main event of the show, shockingly, not Raven defending the ECW title against Tommy Dreamer, but it is IWA champion, world champion Tarzan Goto defeating challenger Bubba Ray Dudley.
So I bet you that was interesting. Tarzan Goto was a right rugged individual.
Yep.
And so was Bubba Ray. So that match was probably just, the state of the art garbage match for its time.
I'm kind of looking to see if there's a tape of this show anywhere,
Yeah, I've never seen this. I mean, I knew they made these trips, but I've never taken a look at any of this. So this will be a first time for me. My guess would be the IWA at the time in Japan, I believe, was being booked by Victor Quinones.
It was the death match. Yeah, 95. They did that big death match show, and Mick Foley, Cactus Jack became an even bigger international star off of that. So.
Yeah, working him and Terry Funk, and he was Terry Gordy. There was a lot of well-known guys. I think the Sheik was in that too, like the Ed Farr.
On the hardcore thing, I believe you're correct. Yes. Okay. So yeah, we got. All right. So we're gonna get to that. WWF. Their previous show was on Sunday the 11th. Also, they were in Scranton, Pennsylvania, at the Catholic Youth Center. It was the Undertaker. 3,038 people showed up. The Undertaker defeated Mankind. And in the main event, your WWF World Champion Shawn Michaels defeated Goldust. So there you go. Actually, on Tuesday, August 13th, WCW was doing what they did on Tuesday nights back then. They were taping WCW Saturday Night in the town of Colorado Springs. They sold out the city auditorium in Colorado Springs, 2,037 in attendance, 1,500 of which were actually paid. They were taping 2 weeks of WCW Saturday Night, which are not up on the network yet. The August 17th, the show for August 17th, 96, main event, Harlem Heat defending the tag team titles against the Steiner Brothers. That goes to a no contest when the Nasty Boys interfere. And for the August 24th show, it was the United States champion Ric Flair defeating Dean Malenko. Let's see. And of course, the USWA running Monday nights in Memphis. Although they weren't running the Mid-South Coliseum anymore, business had dropped to the point where they were running, I believe, the flea market. Yeah. So that's Monday, August 12th. It was the USWA champion, Brian Christopher, the USWA champion, defeats superstar Bill Dundee by disqualification. And for the unified title, Jerry Lawler retains, defeating Coco Beware. So there you go. Let's see. The pro wrestling news as provided from the pages of the Wrestling Observer, the big stories of the week, outside of ECW, of course. Big story of the week, top story, Jushin Liger's brain tumor is not cancerous, so technically he's cleared to return to professional wrestling. He'll be undergoing brain surgery later in the month. And yeah, spoiler, he turns out okay. It turns out okay for him, so that's good. Ahmed Johnson, after being injured by an attack at the TV tapings from Farooq Asad, a.k.a. Ron Simmons, has emergency kidney surgery. He'll be out for some time, and there will be a tournament to crown a new Intercontinental Champion on WWF TV. Oh, and WCW Hog Wild took place the previous weekend in Sturgis. However, there was a bit of an issue involving there was a blackout. It hit nine different states in the West, including parts of nine states, including California. Also, Sean Waltman was supposed to debut on this show as the newest member of the NWO, but WWF refused to sign his release in time. So that would have to be put off for another day. Okay. Let's see. And since we're doing all this in 1 week, let's go over all the culture stuff that's happening. New York Times bestsellers, Cause of Death by Patricia Cornwell, the fourth week at number one. That's fiction. Nonfiction, Unlimited Access by Gary Aldrich is in its second week at number one. This is the Secret Service guy who wrote at length as to what a bitch the First Lady was. So that was quite the story. Yes.
As an aside, I had a customer of mine at one of my previous dealerships who had bought multiple cars from me.
Yeah.
And at one point in time, she worked. She was from Arkansas, and she worked for the Clinton gubernatorial administration.
Oh, was her name Paula Jones?
No, she didn't quite do that kind of work, but her very sweet Southern style, she said Bill was a very nice man, but Hillary was a cunt. So
okay, you're gonna get
the blackout there.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to bleep that part, but she didn't she didn't care for Hillary Clinton. That's
yes.
Let's go with that.
That's why I left off half the word. But you still have to bleep it.
Well, all right. So I'll have to bleep it. Don't worry about it. Okay.
I'm sorry. Right. I'm staying corrected here on this IWA deathmatch thing. I thought the Sheik was in it. It wasn't the Sheik. It was Tiger Jeet Singh.
Oh, well, in that case.
Who's in that tournament
still,
that night.
Still a big deal. All right. Yeah. You want to try this? The number one song on the Billboard charts in its second week at number one.
Oh, wow.
August 1996.
I was gonna say it was the Ace of Base. I saw the sign, but that was
no. We did that again. Yeah, we did that already.
Yeah, I opened up my eyes. I'm out. What do you got?
It is Macarena by Los Del Rio in its second week at number one.
That's so stupid because I was getting ready to say the Macarena.
Yeah, that was Macarena summer, man. Let's see. Never did get to do my booking idea of creating our version of Disco Inferno, Mr. Macarena, but you know, probably for the best.
Thank God.
Yes. A top movie in the country, Jack, starring Robin Williams and Diane Lane in its first week and only week at number one. Let's see. Top news story, Microsoft releases Internet Explorer 3.0, which for computer people, widely considered to be a bad idea. Let's see. Major League Baseball, big game on Tuesday night. The White Sox beat the Yankees 8-4 at Comiskey Park off of a grand slam by Robin Ventura off of David Weathers. And Mike Bertotti was the winning pitcher for Chicago. And
Mike Bertotti.
And on Monday Night Football the previous night, it was preseason football on August the 12th from Dallas. The New England Patriots beat the Super Bowl champions Dallas Cowboys by 31-7. The Patriots under coach Bill Parcells went all the way to the Super Bowl the next year. The Cowboys under Barry Switzer lost to Carolina in the playoffs. But yeah, that's all the excitement I have for you. All right. So we'll come back after the break and we'll hit this. Hi, and we're back. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Shane Shadows. How you doing, Shane?
I'm wonderful, Patrick. I'm looking forward to what we're about to take on here.
So we got to talk. First thing we got to talk about is the Wayback Playback Trucker hats.
Absolutely.
The mere $25, and you contact Shane to purchase one.
Yes. Anywhere in the continental United States between now and Easter, and actually I think we'll extend that deal through Memorial Day weekend.
If you want to extend the deal through Memorial Day weekend, I think we can do that.
I think we can do that. We have that liberty, and I think we're just going to go ahead and exercise it. We're going to extend the deal for your weekend anywhere in the continental U.S. It ships for free, $25. The beautiful brand new logo on a complete trucker hat with the mesh backing. If your head's too big to fit it in, I apologize, but otherwise it's adjustable, so you can make it fit.
Well, hopefully we don't have people whose heads are that big, but you never know. Anyway, yeah, we invite you to check that out. Also, I'd like to point out that we have a patron. It's at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And I'd like to welcome our newest member, Andrew from New York, who joined the Time Travelers tier this past week. Way to go, Andrew.
Andrew, thank you so very much.
Yes.
Appreciate the support. To me, when people pay for the extra tiers, it's telling me that they're enjoying what they're hearing on a week-to-week basis. And hopefully I'm contributing something strongly to those type of decisions. So thank you, and tell your friends and tell your family.
Yes, tell your friends about this show and your family. That's always welcome here. Now, something that we are going to do, and something we talked about before, if you're in the Time Traveler tier, the $4.89 tier, the $4.89 a month gets you our shows, the complete archive of our shows, gets you the shows in advance and the shows without commercials, which are three very cool things. We're also going to throw in one of our bonus episodes, just your access to it as a thank you for joining us here on Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And I'm going to extend this offer through all 3 weeks of our TNA Bound for Glory watch along. The episode that we're going to give you is the bonus episode we're going to give you is the one we just completed, the 2 hour and 35 minute watch along of Heroes of Wrestling, the 1999 pay-per-view that myself, Bob Cook, and Shane Shadows just finished up. And such memorable matches as George the Animal Steel against Greg Valentine, Tully Blanchard versus Stan Lane, and of course, Jimmy Snuka versus Bob Orton, and the main event as it aired on DirecTV. And you can watch along on YouTube. You don't need Peacock or the network. It's sort of the perfect storm for you, folks. If you anybody who wants to see that instead of part two of WrestleMania or in addition to part two of WrestleMania, absolutely, we would love to have you here.
I don't think there's any doubt that the effort is put in here on a week-to-week basis to put the strongest, most observant, intelligent, and entertaining effort that we have between collectively the two of us, which more is the pity. But again, people, we enjoy doing the show. Glad you enjoy listening to the show, and we're going to bring you all kinds of stuff. We've been talking, Patrick and I, we've got all kinds of plans for this program coming up. We're only going to get bigger onward and upward with the all new Wayback Playback.
Because there's no point in doing the show without an audience, and we love our audience, and we'd like to thank you very much. And we're back. Yay. Okay, Shane. Are you ready? So this is ECW Hardcore TV, August 13th, 1996. We're watching it for the first time. I'm at 1 second in. I have a black screen.
That's right. Let's go.
Okay, now I know Shane is going to have commercials hitting him on Peacock. So I'm going to, when you do have a commercial hit, say pause, and I will try to give everybody an official ECW experience by pasting in my own version of an ECW commercial. Okay.
Alrighty.
Because ECW isn't ECW without the commercials. Okay, everybody, we'll hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Original people will know what we're talking about. This is Tokyo, kids. Yep. Right. Okay. And then this is a big deal for Joey Styles. ECW finally hits Cork and Hall. Okay. Yeah.
They've also edited the music, so.
Of course, they kind of had to, yeah. They didn't have the right. ECW never got the rights to White Zombie's Thunder Kiss 65, and God knows Vince wasn't going to pay for them, so here you go. Yeah. But you get the idea. Look, go on YouTube, find it with the original music. You'll get the idea, yeah. Oh, man.
Just trying to look for any of these clips that I might have been in.
Yeah. Kimona, Beulah, the Blue Meanie. Yes, the Raven's son turns on him. Sandman's son turns on him and joins Raven. And the Barrage of Chairs. And Raven with the belt. Which still has the outline of the state of Pennsylvania on it. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. It's the egg dome. We're at the Tokyo. This is a shot of the Tokyo Dome. We're not going to be at the Tokyo Dome. We're going to be at Cork and Hall. So.
Right across the street. We'll be here.
Right across the street. Right across the street from where Mike Tyson got his ass kicked by Buster Douglas in 1990.
Yes, and the night before Mr. Saito upended Larry Zbysko for the AWA title.
That's right. Now this was a pretty quick turnaround. The show took place on Sunday, so obviously they're here on Monday night in what's his name's basement where they filmed all these stand-ups, and Joey Styles had to do commentary over it. That's pretty impressive for 1996.
Crazy.
Intermotional matchup. It's going to be the Eliminators, Saturn and Cronus, defending the ECW tag team titles against Okano and Tamada from the IWA. Oh, and here's Tarzan Goto against Bubba Ray Dudley.
As an interesting sidebar, we keep on going back to this IWA deathmatch tournament. Tarzan Goto challenged for the NWA world title on that card against Dan Severn. Talk about a guy out of place.
Just a little bit, yeah. Okay, so yeah, Terry Gordy and Leatherface beat the Blackhearts, yeah. Okay. And Tommy Dreamer in a Japanese magazine. Okay. Oh, and there's I guess that's the program they had. And there's a Raven comic book, nice. Or Raven comic book cover.
With the Blue Meanie on the front.
Yep. Why not? I don't think the Blue Meanie made that. Well, I don't know. Maybe the Blue Meanie did make the trip. But I mean, if you're going to have ECW, the original ECW in Tokyo, I think Cork and Hall is probably the place because it's the place in Japan that looks most like a high school gymnasium.
Where major wrestling events take place to this day.
Right. Tommy Dreamer. No flunkies. Right. So, he's mentioning the Tyson thing. So, yeah, Raven is working through, I think, a broken foot at this point. And so they're coming up with all sorts of gimmickry and stuff to try and, you know, to try and let him keep defending the title. Right. So, and here's your Raven promo. Yeah. And yes, that's the gimmick. Tommy Dreamer's never beaten Raven in all the times that they fought.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's always done it all on his own, which of course is because he's a heel, it's a complete lie. So yeah.
Heels are supposed to be lies.
Right. Quote the Raven, nevermore. Okay. All right. So back from the break.
Okay, good. Commercial.
Okay, so hold on. Everybody hit pause, and I'm going to try to help Shane through this. We need the official ECW experience. Hold on. There we go. Let's see if I can get the music. It's ECW Extreme Warfare Volume 2. See the most dangerous, death-defying match. It's Tommy Dreamer against Primetime Brian Lee. High incident. Public Enemy takes on the gangsters with 911 and Bill Alfonso as special guest referees. See the only confrontation between Sabu and Lionheart, Chris Jericho. It's the Battle of the Bam Bams. Bam Bam Bigelow against Terry Bam Bam Gordy. And thank you, Joey Styles, for... And, hold on, here we go. And uncensored, for the first time, the Night Kimono Wanalea danced atop the ECW arena. Okay, are we back?
3, 2, 1.
It's ECW Extreme Warfare Volume 2. Okay, hitting play now. And we're back. All right. Look, they're signing autographs. Bubba Ray signing an autograph. There we go. Is that about where you are? Look at all the Japanese fans.
All the shirts.
Yeah, it looks like the frickin' Kaiser Middle School gym in there, you know. Well, I mean, maybe there's a few more people outside it, but yeah. Okay, there's Tommy Bula made the trip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, the good news is this time Tommy didn't have to bring the ring with him, so that was nice.
Yeah. Riding around, you know, north of West Pennsylvania with Donnie Allen.
All right.
Thanks. Got Donnie Allen getting some run here this week here on the playback.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I loved how Tommy Dreamer's ring trek was listed as one of the assets in the ECW bankruptcy sale.
And it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Here we go. 3 years later, 3 years after, well, actually, more like 4 years, but close enough. Yeah, ECW is gone from, here we go. Oh, look at that. Wow. Those are definitely some ECW fans. Yes. Okay. And tonight, here we go. Yeah, we're stretching here, I think.
We're just dragging this out, aren't we?
Yeah, we kind of have to.
Good Lord Almighty, Joey.
Several thousand extreme Japanese. 2,000. Okay. Oh, let's hear from Tommy Dreamer and Terry Gordy. So the gist of it is Terry Gordy is rooting for Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah. Yes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
The tragedy that was those last few years of Terry Gordy's career. Yeah. This was a guy who was just so ridiculously good. It was unreal.
Mm-hmm.
And then his, you know, the other things, he had like that flight to Japan where he was zonked out and had to revive him. He was never the same after that.
Okay. So, yeah. So the Eliminators would like to fight Dream. Would like to fight Dreamer and Gordy at some point. Okay, so here we go. This is your team of Okano and Tamada.
Yeah, I'm on a commercial.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, hit pause, everybody. Oh, geez.
15
seconds?
Keep going.
Okay. All right. I'm Lance Wright, and this is Hype Central. Join us in Staten Island next week for more ECW action. And then in 2 weeks, ECW presents Natural Born Killers from the ECW arena, the Eliminators and the Gangsters in a weapons-filled cage match. How are we doing?
We're back.
Okay, hit play. There we go. There's Joey Styles in the basement. Yes. All right. So it's the Eliminators defending the titles against Okano and Tamada, except the Eliminators had already dropped the title the previous weekend in Philadelphia to the Gangsters, but there was no way they were going to get New Jack a passport to go over to Tokyo, so here we are.
Sure.
So, yeah, we're just
going to pretend. On ECW.
last week on ECW TV. Oh, look, it's New. Speaking of New Jack, it's, oh no, he ducked. And Cronus accidentally nails Saturn. There's Mustafa Saeed. Okay. Well, what a battle we have here. Yep. I mean, I like how Mustafa Saeed went from WCW jobber to New Jack's tag team partner and big ECW star to Oblivion. Yeah.
And he disappeared and he never came back.
And yes, the gangsters have won. They're actually mentioning the gangsters won the tag team titles. Well, okay. Yeah, the gangsters and the eliminators pretty much feuded, I think, forever in the summer of 96. And yep, and Saturn and Cronus had a fight backstage, allegedly, according to Joey. So you know the deal with Saturn and Cronus, right?
To some degree, yes.
Okay.
I know there were some problems between them.
There were some problems. Yeah, there's a reason why Saturn was the guy who talked for the team. Cronus was, sort of a wrestling savant, but he was developmentally disabled and needed the assist, from Saturn just to, be able to work. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there were some problems there, like when they split him up, Cronus really couldn't.
Yeah, he couldn't really function.
Cronus's functionality didn't translate to his team with New Jack.
No, the Gangstonators. Yeah, that didn't. Yeah, shocker, that didn't work out.
Yeah. And then I think he was out of the business after that.
Yeah.
If I recall.
It didn't take long. All right, so. They're going to make a championship proclamation, which.
It's weird to see Perry Saturn at this stage after, knowing what he did, things that he had been through, and how he changed.
Oh, yeah. Takashi Okano and Kazuki Yamada of Japan. All right. Via satellite. Okay. Well.
Remember also that Perry Saturn was probably one of the original training partners of Triple H.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Killer Kowalski's wrestling school. The Iron Horse.
Oh, yes. All right, here we go. It's IWA versus ECW. Okay. Okada has the... Okada's the one with the hair who is not screwed up, and Tomato's got this stupid orange streak in his hair. Okay.
Tomato. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off. All right, here we go.
Indeed.
Yes.
See, right now, we're already here.
That's right. All the black hearts. Oh, there's a black hearts banner in the crowd. There we go. Oh, we get streamers. All right. That's the one thing that Ring of Honor was able to rip off from Japan is the streamers. A nice touch. Okay. Here we go. It's the Eliminators against two random Japanese guys.
Neither one of which had particularly lengthy careers, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. Okay. All right. Let's see what we got. And the world's shortest referee will be handling the contest.
He is small. Good God.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that he's 11, or it could be that he's, Japanese people at this point weren't as tall as Americans, and probably still aren't. Okay.
I don't say anything that could be misconstrued as controversial there.
Okay. Well, how about I say that he's the kid who played Anyang on Arrested Development? How's that?
There you go. That's all better.
Right. All right. Okay. All right. Saturn with the side headlock. All right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, keep it. Yep. Okay. Two tag teams I haven't met before. Keep it nice and simple. Although it doesn't really feel like an ECW match yet. But then again, I guess all the gimmickry is probably going to be saved for Raven and Dreamer.
You would think so.
Yeah. But I mean, again, they got what they wanted here. It's a full building, and everybody looks like they're into the matches, so.
Tag to Curtis.
Okay. There we go. Up the handspring. Okay, maybe a little slower than the Great Muta, but all
right. He's also probably carrying an extra 75 pounds.
Well, yeah, there's that. Okay. All right. So, kind of in a little bit of trouble here. Oh, too slow. And the tag in to Tamada.
Yes. Yeah, oh, nobody gosh. Home there. Here comes Tamado.
Tamada, yeah. I'll just call him Tamado Tanaka with the redness here.
Uh huh.
All right. Yay. Well, it's Keith Mitchell's directing because we're getting shots of the crowd for no reason.
If someone's getting their head beat in, let's get a wide shot of the crowd.
Yeah.
See how they react.
There we go. Dump them over the top. Yeah, it's not like they're like they're doing to cut missed moves or anything. They're just like, yeah. Okay. Saturn gets bleeped. So you're in good company, Shane. There you go. Oh. All right. Yay. They got an ECW chant going.
That didn't take long.
Yep. Hey. Okay. Let's see what else we can do here. I mean, Saturn was always a really talented guy in the ring. It's, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh. Okay. Yep. Fans aren't exactly booing the heels here. Okay. Yeah, you're not gonna. Yeah, they're not gonna get the same fan reaction in Japan. I don't care if it's an IWA show or what have you. Oh, here we go. Crucifix. Nice. Ooh. Okay. Hi, everybody. Up. All right. Yep. I mean, it just seems like these are two random guys they put together to, you know, and threw them to the wolves. All right.
Not a lot to call here, really.
No, there isn't. They're working. I mean, they're working him over. I don't exactly know. This guy is Okano, and he's not Ricky Morton here. Oh, there we go. I don't know. Yep.
Big sunset.
All right, getting a little of the baby face fire. Yep. Oh. Right. Oh yes. Yeah, this is where everybody was German suplexing everybody, right? This is before we heard of neck surgery, I guess.
Apparently.
Well, it's in fairness, the people in wrestling were doing. They're still doing this like 6 years later. Then when Vince cracked down on it, everybody else was like, "Oh yeah, maybe we shouldn't. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't be doing the 10 German suplexes in a row spot." Okay, here we go. All right, chair shot. And up, oh, here we go. Banzai. All right. Okay, this is looking more like an ECW match. Referee completely ineffective. No countouts, no disqualifications. And Okada definitely needs to get to this corner, Shane, and tag in Tamada. Or
yeah,
something.
Tamada needs to come in and make it stay here for a second.
Oh, here we go. Here's the hot tag. Oh, well. Yeah. And Carlos is like, what are you doing trying to get offense here? Crowd just fascinated by what they're seeing. Well, I mean, I figure this fits in with the theme of the show. The fans here probably have a pretty good idea what they were getting themselves into, so. Okay, and back to Saturn. Are we going to get the finish here, Shane?
I hope so.
Okay, Tamada. Up, there we go. All right. Yep. There are some fans here who want to see the ECW style. All right, Rings of Saturn. Good job. Okay. Now, here's something I don't see, you know, on every show. Women in the crowd, you know, acting like they're enjoying themselves. And enjoying watching the show. And maybe I'm stereotyping a little bit, but, you know. 1996, you didn't always get that. Only two. Okay. Well, let me know when we get another commercial, Shane, so I can work on my impression of Paul Heyman doing the Sabu T-shirt commercial. Because you remember ECW, it's really not. I mean, aside from the music, it's really not the same without like an extra 5 minutes of commercials dumped in there for the various ECW products. Okay. All right, so, what do we have here? Overhead, belly to belly, okay. All right. Yep. Okay, fans getting behind this youngster. Well, not really. Yep. Okay. All right. Take to Shane. You know, Shane, this is almost, but not quite like the upcoming AEW New Japan Super Show.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Yeah. Yes, as they've opened the forbidden door here and allowed the eliminators into Corican Hall. Oh, kick out. All right, Akano's fired up. Here we go. Here's the big comeback. All right. Hip toss. Close line. Oh, and Right, there comes the tag. Now it's time for the big double drop kick, right? Hey, I called it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Never heard of these guys before, but they're showing something. I mean, they don't let chumps into the ring in Japan usually. Okay. This is probably the biggest ECW match to ever take place in Corican Hall. Now? Okay. All right, Okada's here. Well, it could be worse for Okada and Tamada. They're not facing the Steiners. And another slam? No, sir. Okay. Reversal. Oh, well, I don't know what that was. That might have been something they cut away from on purpose. Oh, there we go. Nope. Wow. Shane, would it be fair to say we're breaking down in Tulsa here?
Oh, it's getting way out of hand.
Yep. Oh, Saturn with the save.
Double stepper across face.
Okay. Let's take it home, fellas. Oh, the DDT. One, two, yes. Oh. Oh, Saturn's in real trouble here. Nakano going up for his finish. All right. Missile drop kick. Here we go. One. Yeah, no. There are a lot of photographers around ringside for this. Oh. Okay, Saturn gets him. Now Saturn is gonna, no. Okay. Oh. All right. Let's see what Saturn's gonna do here. Ah, the Benoit diving headbutt. Oh, and Tomato with the save. Okay.
Total elimination. Sorry.
Okay. Yes, the Eliminators with the big win. Thank goodness. Okay. And they will get their rematch on the next ECW Arena show. All right, so we're back. Are you ready for the main event, Shane?
Yes, sir. Like the French when Lindbergh landed.
Okay, here we, and there's Paul Heyman. And what's he doing here? There are people in Japan who recognize Paul Heyman. And they're not bill collectors. Okay. Well, they did get the ECW flag up. That's a nice, you know. But obviously, they take this somewhat seriously. Oh, it's time for the ECW Championship Proclamation, Shane. Hey. Here we go. Yay. Did you ever think you'd see this day, Shane?
No, I did not.
Okay. Yes. All right, well, this must be a great match since it's happening at Cork and Hall, so let's see what we have here. And making his way to the ring, it's Raven. I don't like the champ coming out first.
Never have.
Yep. Not what we're looking for. Okay, yep, there's the old ECW belt. And here we are. Yes. Episode 398. This is what the people demanded. The bastards. All right. Now, I gotta admit, I've never seen this show before either. So, at least we're getting a new experience here. Will Shane survive till episode 400? Stay tuned, people. Oh, here he comes. It's Tommy Dreamer. He's the man in the box. With the lovely Beulah McGillicuddy. Oh, just Beulah McGillicuddy? Really? Okay. Oh, there's Tommy. Tommy Dreamer looks young, Shane.
He always has.
I mean, really young. He's not quite IWCCW young, but you know, he's young. Okay. Let's see. All right, this is one fall to a positive finish. And I don't think they always showed the graphic on the screen for the match, but I think it's a nice touch. Brings back the 80s, TBS, the good old days of wrestling on TV. Okay. All right, BCW champion. Okay. Oh, yes. Yay. Oh. Yes. As you may know, Raven wears a different t-shirt for each match. As in, he wears the t-shirt for one match and never wears it in another match again. All right, let me know when you hit the commercial. Now we're back. Okay, so we're now on, let's see, 16 months of the Raven-Tommy Dreamer feud. Is this the night that Tommy Dreamer finally defeats Raven and captures the ECW heavyweight title? All right, confession here. I did get to see one ECW show in the original era, and it was one of the worst times I had at a wrestling show. It was down in Richmond. It was a TV taping, and... And Shane's asleep, folks. It was bound to happen. Okay. Yep. All right. So we're underway. Raven and Tommy Dreamer tie up. Here we go. Backs him into the corner. And we're getting a clean break. All right. Yay. Don't forget, folks, Shane Shadows is on Twitter at oneonlychaneshad1, and contact him about those those Wayback Playback trucker hats. And they were $25, free shipping anywhere in the continental U.S. Oh, and Raven and Dreamer brawling out on the floor at the timekeeper's table. Yep. End of the table. And back into the ring. Okay. And boot to the head. All right. Snapmare takeover by Raven. Okay, this is actually going like a basic match so far. All right, whip into the ropes. Oop. And Raven misses the dropkick. Here comes Dreamer. Oh, knee to the groin. He's hardcore, folks. All right, they're on the parquet floor here at the Corican Hall. And Dreamer's got a chair. Because in ECW matches, a chair shot is as legal as a headlock. Okay. Haven't seen anything this exciting since the Bad News Bears went to Japan. Oh, here we go. Nope, Dreamer. He's got him. Oh. I mean, these fans are in it. They've got their people with ECW t-shirts here. They're holding up, the guy's holding up a chair. There we go. Thank you. Ooh. What was that? I don't know. And Raven has been busted open. He's been lacerated. And we're going back into the, we're going to the crow's nest. Wait, there is no crow's nest. We're at Corican Hall. Okay. And we're going up the stairs, folks. Okay. A lot of excitement here. They're fighting into the stands. This place does look, it looks kind of, it's Japanese ECW arena. Kind of a cross between the Hammerstein and Viking Hall. All right, and we got some great camera shots of, not much. Right, okay, we go. They got him. We're fighting back down towards ringside. Okay. All right, going for the suplex. And he's suplexed. Yep. All right. Got a suplex out here towards the concourse. Now, Raven taking Dreamer back towards the ring. This is an unusual Raven-Dreamer match in that there's no outside interference. I mean, Beulah's there, but we don't have the Blue Meanie or Stevie Richards or, well, any of those guys. Any of Raven's usual core of misfits. Okay. Go to the back. Raven is still taking over, though. And they're fighting in the streets. Okay. All right. We're rolling into the ring. Tommy Dreamer busted open. And a snapmare. Oh! And then the donkey punch by Raven. Very popular move in ECW. All right. And Joey says that Raven's in pain. Well, Raven's not the guy who just got kicked in the groin. Oh, he needs another chair. Okay. Let's pulmonize the face. Oh, there we go. All right. Raven has the advantage. Okay. Will Tommy Dreamer be able to continue? We'll find out. Oh! DDT on the chair, Vintage Raven. And Dreamer kicks out, Vintage Dreamer. Let's see if we're going to get the patented Tommy Dreamer comeback here. All right, through the ropes we go. It's worth pointing out that Dreamer had worked for All Japan a couple of years before this. So not his first trip to Japan. All right, into the wood we go. And we're setting up. Oh, a tuxedo guy moving people out of the way. And he tries to put Dreamer through a table, and the table won't break because in Japan, they make tables to last. Yes, here we go. Into the post we go. Postage due on Raven. Oh, and he suplexes the table. Dreamer suplexes the table on the Raven. Very, very fun vintage spot. All right. People are clearing room. People clearing out. People making room. They're brawling up the stairs again.
Ouch.
All right. Lieutenant Toddler is your referee. And into the wall. All right. And into the wall again. All right. We've got Raven's blood all over the wall. And back down we go. Oh, what's he got on him? I have no idea what that was. Oh, and Raven goes down the steps. That's what you want to be doing if you broke your foot. All right. Oh, wait a minute. He just got kicked by somebody. Stevie Richards attacks Tommy Dreamer in the stands. Yes, Stevie Richards. Told you he was on the show. And Richards helps Raven back into the ring. All right. Stevie Richards hiding out in the crowd. Oh. And the match will continue. Two. No! Dreamer kicks out again. Some more. All right. Here we go. Oh, no. Stevie's going for the Stevie kick. Richards with a slap. All right. And the Stevie kick lays him out. And Dreamer kicks out again. All right. Why hit one finish when multiple will do? Oh, no. What's it going to be this time? Another Stevie kick attempt. And Raven accidentally gets knocked out by the kick. Both men are down. All right, wait a minute. Stevie's going to interfere again. Powerbomb. All right. Now another kick out. Oh, my goodness. This isn't getting ridiculous or anything, folks. Actually, this is just ECW being ECW. Okay, Richards on the top rope. Oh! And Dreamer takes out Stevie Richards. Okay. Now, oh, and Raven dropkicks Stevie. Kobashi DDT. That's it. Raven kicks out. And, of course, Dreamer pulls Stevie back into the ring because, I don't know, why not? Well, Dreamer has no friends. Okay, gets a chair from the crowd again. This one has a cushion on it, though. Okay. Let's keep busting Stevie open. And Bulldog onto the chair. Everybody must be busted open by the end of this match. I don't know what the ring announcer's saying. Other than stay away from the ring, I think. Oh. Oh, no. Raven gets Dreamer from behind. Raven with the roll-up. No! Still not the finish. My goodness. Okay. Here we go. Raven. Oh! Dreamer catches him with a DDT out of nowhere. And that's not the finish because Dreamer's going to go off the top rope. Folks, I don't know what to tell you. Is this the night that Tommy Dreamer finally wins the title at Corican Hall? Nope. Raven gets a shoulder up. What? It's Patricia! Oh. And Beulah comes in to make the save. Oh. Well, we're going to see Patricia get pile driving. Not from that angle, though. And there's Raven with the chair shots. That's why you don't want to take a break to pile drive a woman. And Raven keeps the ECW World Heavyweight title in Corican Hall. Congratulations to Raven, I guess. All right. So there we go. The celebration continues. Well, what a win, folks. All right. This is, okay, yep, and that's it, folks. That is ECW Season 4, Episode 33. All right, and we're going to wrap that up. And we'll be back to tell you what happened next.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuepique.com. And we're back. That was a lot of fun. We're going to go to what happened next in just a moment. Shane?
Yes. Well, I just want to speak very openly here and say that we are re-recording this as we speak because you may have heard during the course of the show, I fell asleep. And I do apologize to anybody who was bothered by that. I'd been on the road for much of the last weekend and so forth and hadn't got readjusted, but I did go back. And I wanted to go back and rewatch the match. So I did watch the Dreamer Raven match from Corican Hall. And, you know, it wasn't bad. I don't think watching it with the volume turned off, Joey Styles' commentary hasn't aged specifically well. No disrespect to him. You know, it was an exciting match, probably just a little bit too much blah, blah with Stevie Richards and so forth like that. But overall, it was pretty entertaining and kind of takes you back in time to a different place and so forth when ECW was super hot. And, what a great moment for them, though, too, to be able to do that event in downtown Tokyo and such a famous building.
Yeah. And, you know, I looked at some of the, you know, some of that show and the way it was shot. And then, you know, I remember when Ring of Honor first went to Japan, you got kind of the same, you know, sort of package from Gabe Sapolsky because he worked for Paul Heyman with the Japanese posters and the shot of the posters on the train station wall and the shots of the building. So yeah, it's obviously
it creates a background and a backstory and it makes things go from just being events to happenings.
Right.
I agree with that. You know. And back then, you know, the posters and the print was, you know, was a big thing.
Yeah.
Remember, the internet's in its infancy.
Right.
You know, and, you know, so of course, in the word of mouth, that spread quite the same back then. So it's kind of a throwback to how things were promoted, especially in a major city that sees a ton of wrestling historically on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of like this show is a throwback to the way, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to run down what happened next for everybody after the show. ECW, everybody went home. They did their Staten Island show on Saturday, August the 18th, in front of 1,033 fans. Those people saw an injured Raven defeat the Sandman with help from Stevie Richards again. And in the main event, it was Sabu over Rob Van Dam. They had a rivalry going in 96 that seemed like it was going to last, you know, kind of forever, and lasted most of the year.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Actually, the next weekend, WWF ran SummerSlam 96 in Cleveland. 17,000 people in attendance, 14,926 paid. And, we haven't done that show. We might end up doing that show at some point here. I'm just going to remind everybody, it was Undertaker versus Mankind in the Boiler Room Brawl and Shawn Michaels defending the WWF title against Vader.
Yes, there were a couple of noteworthy shows right there. That was a very crazy period in my life personally.
Yeah.
That era, because that was the time that my trainer, Neil the Power Superior, was killed.
Yeah.
In Ocean City. So some of those things are a little bit of a blur for me. But going back and watching the CCW stuff and being able to think back into the context that it was just days before, you know, we lost Neil, and kind of, you know, and SummerSlam especially, because that was like a week after he had been killed. So that'll be an interesting, might be an interesting look for me sometime in the future as well.
And we can do that sometime. And speaking of shows we haven't done that we will get around to sometime, WCW on the 15th, which I want to say was the Friday, no, Thursday, I think. Yeah, Thursday the 15th, WCW ran Clash of Champions 33 at the Denver Coliseum in front of 8,304, 5,931 of whom were paid. Those fans got to see Harlem Heat defend the tag titles against the Steiner Brothers and Sting and Lex Luger in a three-way match. And yes, WCW champion Hulk Hogan versus United States champion Ric Flair. And
to my knowledge, was the first time they ever had a match together where Hogan was the heel. I think that's the first time.
That's true.
Yeah. Because the roles were always reversed. And I think that only one other match ever happened between them. I think with the roles reversed, and I think that was
99. I think
99 when they tried like right there in the middle of the hype to turn it,
right?
And that just didn't work. But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because their matches were always set up a certain way, and they're trying to do the same type of spots that they were familiar with, except for their spots were set up with Hogan as the babyface, and there's
right.
I remember specifically. Flair whips Hogan into the corner, and Hogan would ordinarily come out with the big Hulkster clothesline, except for in this case, he really shouldn't. So they just kind of smacked into each other for a second, and Flair took a bump. something didn't go right.
Well, Hogan wasn't going to go ass over tea kettle and then go over the top, you know, and come down on the apron and then, you know, run across and into the clothesline. So, yeah, you have to do things a little differently. You have to adjust every so often. All right. So as you probably know already, our next vote is already live up at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter, Real Pat McNeil, McNeill. The choice from our listeners, I took the list of the listener choices and picked one at random, and we got WWF Raw from August 4th, 1993 in New Haven, Connecticut, a 20-man battle royal where the final two men left in the battle royal would fight for the vacant Intercontinental title next week. So,
we know how that one comes out. Yeah, but that's a fun one.
Yeah, that is a fun one. Royals. Yeah.
A lot of people take big jumps on battle royals, but I like battle royals.
Well, it depends on how you're doing them too. If it's like the one of the last matches at a four show taping and the 20-man battle royal ends in 6 minutes and you can almost hear the people yelling abandon ship. Yeah, then that's one thing.
A Titanic battle royal. Everyone jumps off the boat.
Right, but if it's something with a storyline, you know, you got to go through a commercial break or two. Yeah, you should be able to work out.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of the independents just took a big dump on, ruined the Battle Royal for a lot of people, because they would just put all these rookie kids and clueless turds in the ring, and they would just, you know, even worse, there's a guy here locally who wouldn't even have guys get eliminated over the top rope in his Battle Royal, so they had to be pins. It was a mess. It just lazy booking stupidity, but, you know, what can you do?
I know. All right. All right, then we had your selection, which again, World Class Parade of Champions 3, May 4th, 86, from Texas Stadium in Irving, Texas. Described by one WCC World Class podcaster as the last big World Class crowd, I think is what he described it as.
I think that's probably fair to say. And, you know, I haven't watched all that card in years, and I don't know that I've ever watched the thing the whole way through, which was one of the reasons why I selected it. But it was right around that same period of time, I think, that it wasn't going to be then or shortly thereafter, I think, that Kerry takes off on his motorcycle and destroys his foot, and, you know,
and things just go south
around, but things are just getting really, things are starting to make a very curious turn in Dallas.
In any case, the featured bouts are Rick Rude defending the World Class title against Bruiser Brody. The Freebirds defend the World Class six-man titles in a lumberjack elimination match against Kerry Von Erich, Lance Von Erich, and Steve Simpson. So,
yes.
Big show. Let's see.
What did Kevin do that year?
I don't know.
Huh. But didn't Brody work twice that day?
Yes. However, well, see, you can either do the show on the YouTube version, or you can do it on the Peacock, where it's just like two episodes of World Class back to back. And either way, it's just like, yeah. So neither of those, I don't think, have the barbed wire match.
Oh, that's a pity.
Well, you're not going to see anything too different from what you saw, unfortunately.
That's crazy, because those are two of the best of their era and two of the best.
I know.
That's a shame. That's a shame we're not going to get to see that one if that comes through on the boat.
Well, now, hold on. If we find it somewhere between now and then, sure. You know. But
if anybody has a copy of it, send it to us. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Or just tell us where to find it on YouTube or wherever. Where is it going? All right. I chose... inspired by the ECW we saw, I chose one of my favorite ECW shows, Hostile City Showdown 95, April 15th, 1995, at the ECW Arena, with Eddie Guerrero defending the ECW television title against Dean Malenko to start off that feud. And yes, Cactus Jack versus Terry Funk, which is never not fun. So,
yes, this is coming off the heels of Funk making the Mystery Man return in the box, I believe.
Oh, yes, that was, Return of the Funker. Yeah, that's also on Peacock.
Huge pop.
Yes, not much of that show otherwise, but a huge pop at the end for Terry Funk, and with that, I believe it's time to get the old randomizer out and see what we have. Okay, we get the wheel, big spin, dollars worth 250, consonants worth nothing, and we go through WCW Saturday Night, ECW, AWA, and we stop at. What do we stop at, folks? Well, let's find out here. That's right. That's right, it's WWE Raw, but not just any episode of WWE Raw. It's Raw from August 19th, 2002, Norfolk, Virginia. Shane, it's a big six-man tag. Texas versus Canada, The Undertaker teams up with Booker T and Goldust against the Un-Americans of Christian Cage, Lance Storm, and Test. And the main event, The Rock takes on Triple H in a big no-disqualification match.
I'm bad at not having recollection of that.
Well, yeah, this was they were going home to SummerSlam 2002, so.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah, but it's there's nothing wrong with it. It's a fine Raw. So, them's your choices. By all means, pick them, and we'll do episode 399, and probably episode 400 will be from there too. We're kind of excited about that. Anyway, we're on visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Shane is at one only Shane Shad one. And Jim Valley is at Jim Valley. Be sure to warn him what he's getting into. And of course, you can leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review from us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever your pods are cast. It just doesn't matter. Of course, if you'd like to know more about the Eliminators, Joey Styles, Bubba Ray Dudley, Tommy Dreamer, or Raven, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer, or you can go download your local library app because they're all in books. Shane?
Same. Way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, and we'll be very happy to see you then. We're entering the month of May, and we got all sorts of crazy ideas for you, and can't wait to do them. So until then, yesterday is history. What was that?
I said the fun's just getting ready to start, folks.
I agree. So until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.